Welcome to this Ableton Live Mixing Masterclass, Restaming with EQ for DJ-friendly drum and bass sets. If you're new to mixing DNB, here's the big idea you're about to learn. A Reese bass is supposed to be alive and nasty, but if you let it run wild, it becomes the number one reason your mix falls apart. It eats headroom, it fights the kick, it masks the snare, and it turns into a painful mess when a DJ boosts the lows or highs on a mixer. So today we're going to build a simple, repeatable Reese control chain using only stock Ableton devices. You'll end up with a bass that hits hard in a club, sits under drums cleanly, and stays predictable in a DJ set. Before we touch any EQ, let's set this up the right way. Set your project tempo to 174 BPM. Anywhere from 170 to 176 is normal, but let's live at 174 so your timing decisions feel like real DNB. Now make a basic drum loop. Just a kick, snare, and a hat pattern is enough. Here's why. If you EQ a Reese in solo, you will lie to yourself. The goal is not pretty bass by itself. The goal is bass that works with drums. Also, drop a reference track into an audio track and mute it. We're not copying, we're calibrating. Later, you'll slash be your low end and see if you're in the right universe. One more beginner power move. Put spectrum on your master, and put another spectrum on your bass. You're training your ears and your eyes together. You won't rely on it forever, but it speeds up learning massively. Now, the single most important restaming move for DJ-friendly mixes. Split the bass into rolls. Treat EQ decisions as band rolls, not just fixes. You are going to create two MIDI tracks. One is SUB, the other is Reese MID. The SUB track is boring on purpose. It's clean, mono, stable, predictable. That predictability is what makes DJs love your tune, because the low end doesn't randomly change every two bars. On the SUB track, load operator, set oscillator to a sine wave. That's it. Simple, stable, serious. Play a bass line in a DNB-friendly range, often around F, G, or A, or just follow the key of your track. Now add EQ8 and utility on the SUB track. In EQ8, set a low-pass filter around 120 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. This is you being strict with the job description. The sub track does sub, nothing else. If your sub is booming, you can do a tiny dip around 50 to 60 Hz, like 1 or 2 dB, with a gentle Q around 1.2. Tiny, don't carve a cannon. Then utility, set width to 0%. Mono, always. If your Ableton version has bass mono, turn it on too, but the main thing is, sub equals mono. Set the sub level so it's strong but not clipping. As a starting point, aim for around minus 6 dB peak on the track meter. You can go louder later, but right now we want control. Cool! Your sub is now DJ-proof by design. Now let's build the Reese MID. This is the character layer. Movement, width, texture, the holy hell vibe. But it must not act like a second sub. For beginners, use Waveatable or Operator. If you choose Waveatable, start with a saw on OSC 1 and a saw on OSC 2. Detune them slightly. Add a little unison, like 2 to 4 voices, and keep the unison amount low. If you go too hard, you'll get a flangey, facey sound that feels exciting but becomes a nightmare to EQ later. If you choose operator, use 2 sawish or squarish waves slightly detuned. Same concept. Width and motion, but not chaos. Now we build the core restaming EQ chain on the Reese MID track. Here's the order. First EQ8 for cleanup and pre-shape, then saturator to add harmonics and density, then a second EQ8 to tame what saturation brought up and fit it into the mix, then utility for mono and width control, and if it's still wild, optionally multiband dynamics, gently. Let's start with EQ8 number 1. This is the remove what isn't your job EQ. Because you already made a dedicated sub track, your mid-Reese must stay out of sub territory. This is how you get more headroom and a cleaner DJ mix instantly. On EQ8, set a high-pass filter around 100 Hz. Use a steep slope, 24 dB per octave. Now listen with drums playing. If there's still rumble, push that high-pass up toward 120 or even 130 Hz. In DNB, 130 on the mid layer is super common and totally fine, because the sub track is carrying the true low end. That's step one of taming. You didn't even tame a resonance yet. You just stopped the mid layer from doing the wrong job. Now we tackle the low mid zone, the place where Reese basses love to fog up your mix and make the kick feel smaller. We're hunting the boxy, woody, cardboard zone. It usually lives between 180 and 400 Hz. Add a bell filter. Set the Q around 2. Boost it by about 6 dB. And now do the sweep method. Slowly sweep from 180 up to 400 while your drums are playing. When it suddenly sounds like honk, fog, or cardboard, stop. That's your problem area. Now flip that boost into a cut. Usually minus 2 to minus 5 dB is enough. Small, confident moves. Common sweet spots. Around 220 to 260 for bucks. Around 300 to 350 for honk and mud. Teacher tip. Do not delete this whole area. DNB needs controlled low-mid punch. Especially darker rollers, where that 150 to 250 region gives you the chest thump. We're removing fog, not removing weight. Next, harshness. The Reiss chainsaw tends to live around 1.5 to 5 kHz, and it can get painful fast. Also, this is the range a DJ might boost to cut through the room, which means your harshness gets multiplied. So add another bell. Try a gentle cut around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. Use a Q around 1.4 to 2.5. Cut 1 to 4 dB. Again, small moves. If you cut too much, the Reiss will feel like it lost its voice. In that case, back off the cut and let saturation create controlled brightness instead of EQ boosting highs. Alright, now saturator. Saturator is your louder without being louder trick. It helps the bass translate on smaller speakers because it adds harmonics above the fundamental. Load saturator. Choose analog clip for a gritty, solid tone or soft sign for smoother. Turn on soft clip. Set drive somewhere between 2 and 6 dB. Start at about 4 dB. Now the crucial habit. Level match. After you add drive, pull the output down so the processed version is roughly the same loudness as bypassed. Use the track meter, and trust your ears, not the louder button. Now EQ 8 number 2, the polish EQ. This one depends on what saturation changed. If the top got fizzy, add a gentle low pass around 10 to 14 kHz. You're not making it dull, you're just shaving off brittle stuff that becomes painful on a loud system. If the Reiss is fighting the snare, there are two common collision zones. One is around 180 to 220 Hz, which is often snare body. Another is around 1 to 2 kHz, depending on where your snare talks. Try a tiny dip in one of those spots on the Reiss mid. Tiny, 1 to 2 dB can be magic. And a DJ-friendly reminder, avoid huge resonant peaks. DJs boost EQ on mixers. If your bass has spiky peaks, it turns into a nice pick when someone adds a few dB on the high knob. Now utility on the Reiss mid. We want club translation. That means your bass must still hit in mono. The sub is already mono, but the mid layer still needs a strategy. Simplest beginner approach. Keep the Reiss mid width somewhere around 30 to 60%. Don't go full wide if you don't know what it's doing to mono. Better approach. If you can handle one extra step, create an audio effect rack on the Reiss mid and make two chains. Chain 1 is mid mono. Put in a Q8 low pass at about 180 Hz, then utility width at 0%. Chain 2 is mid stereo. Put in a Q8 high pass at about 180 Hz, then utility width around 120%, but be careful. Wide is fun until your bass disappears in mono. Blend the chain volumes until the low part of the mid layer feels solid, and the upper movement feels wide. This gives you width without wrecking mono. Now, optional containment, multiband dynamics. If the Reiss is still jumping out on certain notes, you can use multiband dynamics gently. A popular move is to start from the OTT preset, but then reduce it massively. Pull the amount down, slow the timing, and keep the mix low, like 10 to 25%. The goal is control, not an aggressive screaming bass meme. Quick coach note. If your low end still feels inconsistent after EQ, you might be dealing with phase or timing, not frequency. Try nudging the SUB track using track delay by plus or minus 5 to 20 milliseconds, and listen for tighter punch. Also try flipping polarity on the sub using utility's phase buttons. Sometimes it locks in instantly. EQ can't fix cancellation. Timing and polarity can. Now let's make it DJ-friendly in arrangement, not just sound. A DJ mix loves consistency. Your Reiss shouldn't randomly change sub-energy every couple bars. So keep the sub stable, and put most variation in the mid layer. Try this classic rolling structure. For the first 16 bars of the drop, keep the main Reiss pattern and consistent sub-notes. In bars 9 to 16, add variation only in the mid layer. Filter movement. Small rhythm edits, little stabs at the end of phrases. In the next 16 bars, you can even switch the Reiss mid-sound slightly, maybe resample it and re-EQ, but keep the sub stable. Here are a few automation ideas that work great. Automate filter cutoff on the Reiss mid, not the sub. Automate the depth of your notch cut slightly during fills, like minus 2 to minus 4 dB, so the bass steps back for a moment, and for jungle vibes, add short re-stabs at the end of 8-bar phrases. You can also do kick clarity bars. Every 8 or 16 bars, simplify the re's mid for 1 bar, raise the high pass slightly or reduce saturation drive briefly. The kick feels bigger without turning it up. That's a pro roller trick, and here's a crowd control illusion that always works. Pre-drop teaser without sub. Before the drop, let the re's mid play filtered while the sub is muted. The character is there, but the weight isn't. Then when the sub returns, the drop feels huge. Now we do the must you in context checks. This is where you earn the DJ friendly label. First, mute the drums and listen to the bass alone for a moment. You're listening for ugly resonances, weird whistles, or random spikes. Then unmute the drums. Confirm the bass sits under the kick and snare. The drums should feel bigger with the bass, not smaller. Next, turn the bass down by 3 dB. If you still feel the groove and the note shape, you're in a good place. If it disappears completely, you relied too much on sheer volume instead of controlled harmonics and balance. Then check mono. Put utility on the master and set width to 0% temporarily. Your bass should still hit and not vanish. Now let's do a DJ mixer stress test inside Ableton, because real DJs will boost things. On your master, at EQ3, while your loop plays, boost the low by 3 to 6 dB for about 10 seconds. Then reset that and boost the high by about 3 dB for 10 seconds. If your bass turns into a harsh, spiky mess when you boost highs, you need to smooth that 2 to 5K region or control the side channel harshness. If boosting lows makes everything explode and distort, your sub is too loud, or your mid layer is still leaking too much low end. If you want an extra slick trick, on EQ8 on the mid layer, use M/S mode on a band. Cut a little harshness in the side channel around 2 to 4KHC while leaving the mid more intact. That keeps width exciting but center punchy. Alright, mini practice exercise. Set a timer for 15 minutes. Load any Reese preset on the mid layer, wave eatable is fine. Make a dedicated sub with operator sign. On the Reese mid, high pass at about 110HZ. Find one nasty resonance between 200 and 350 and cut about 3 dB. Find one harsh spot between 2 and 4K and cut about 2 dB. Add saturator, analog clip, drive 4 dB, soft clip on, then level match, a slash B before and after with drums playing. Then mono check on the master. Your success criteria is simple. The drop feels louder and cleaner without increasing the master peak level. This audio version is shortened for playback.